What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, April 11th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
This outfit as usual.
Oh, thank you.
I like
you.
This one. A laid back day, you know?
Yeah.
Just chilling out.
I haven't worn this blue jacket in a while. So yeah.
Is there any design on the back? You got the designs on the front here. Oh, same kind of design. All right, cool. Yeah, okay. All right.
Exactly. It's embroidered.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It didn't make the Roper Report, Andrea, because it doesn't deserve to be on there. It's such big news. It deserves to be talked about at the beginning of the show. You've won your fight. Division 2 is adding red hair.
Yay!
There you go.
Thank you, everybody. Massive.
Also,
you're the best.
They're working on bald heads as well.
Yes.
Another thing that was often
red
requested.
Hair and no hair.
Exactly. That's
and
what
you can
it
also
was.
Change your gender as well. They're adding
that in.
Oh, nice.
All right, cool. Yeah, so this is a tweet that just happened, right? But it's incoming soon, or they're working on it, right?
I believe these are part of the most recent patch notes that are coming out, but let me clarify that. But yes, so I went to Twitter this morning, and one at Evan, or Evan P, tweeted to me, Andrea Renee, Division 2 fix incoming, and then he's highlighted the bullet point from the notes that says red-haired colors planned.
In planned. Okay, so it's not there yet. Probably still coming. So they've heard you.
Yes.
They're asking you to stop sending your letters. All your fans at the door of Massive beating on it asking for the red hair.
I just flew a bunch of people to Sweden and said, make it happen.
You just told them to go there. They'll go. Don't worry about it. I'm excited about talking about game news such as Troy Baker Watch 2019, sales figures, and some wild speculation, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Over there, you can give us your questions for sure. I was going to say bad PSN names. I was going to start there. You can't do it anymore. The solution's out there. You can use it. It's a weird thing for me to get used to. But patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Questions, comments, concerns, and everything else under the video game sun. Then you can watch us record the show live. twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Vancouver, you're the next Kind of Funny World Tour meet and greet. We are coming to you Saturday, May 4th. You can go to kindoffunny.com/events. See what we're talking about, where we're going to be. Join us on the World Tour. Andrea, you added this one. Don't miss out on the inaugural AIAS Foundation Bit.Run 5K. Join the gaming community this Saturday, April 13th, at Duckweiler State Beach in Los Angeles to benefit the AIAS Foundation. You can register on the website or even on-site day of. Check-in and packet pickup starts at 7 a.m. The race begins at 8 a.m.
So just a little background. So that is the same folks who put on the Dice Awards that Greg and Jessica Chobot hosted earlier this year. All of the proceeds from the 5K go to help the grant and scholarship program in the women's program there, and the, it's not raising new voices, it's something, there's a verb, something about new voices,
elevating,
I think that sounds right. Basically it goes
creating
to a lot of charitable works. Interactive.org is the website, and what's cool about it is if you live in the Los Angeles area and you go and do the run, you get to run with developers from Naughty Dog, from Insomniac, from a bunch of other Los Angeles-based video game studios. So
if you're doing it, run next to them and ask for autographs.
Good luck.
Try to catch him. Today's Devin Sawa Day. Devin Sawa on his way to us right now to do the Kinda Funny Games cast and a show that you can't see right away, but another show. And then also, thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach, Black Jack, James Davis, Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Hims and Harry's, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Tom, for some news, Kevin. Four items on the Roper Report.
The Baker's Dozen!
Good job, Kev. I love your energy today. You're all about it. Number one, let's get back into this Borderlands 3 Troy Baker business.
Oh, my gosh.
As we've talked about it, you were on the show. We've talked about on Kinda Funny Games Daily, it broke from a panel Troy did over in, or Down Under, Australia, where he was talking about, like, somebody's like, are you going to be Reese again in Borderlands 3? We saw Reese in the trailer. Are you going to be him? And Troy was like, sadly, no. I would have loved to have done it, but I didn't hear where it ended, and then it just didn't happen. I saw him in the trailer, and it's not me. Randy Pitchford, took to Twitter last night when somebody was like, hey, can we ask you Borderlands 3 questions? He's like, of course you can.
CEO of Gearbox.
Everyone knows Randy Pitchford. And they were basically like, why didn't you let Troy Baker be Reese? And he said, and Randy tweets, you'll have to ask Troy. I was told by the audio director that he turned it down. Fortunately, with how Reese appears in the game, I don't think it actually matters at all. You'll see for yourself when the game comes out, and you may disagree with me on that or not. He went on to totally compliment Troy that, you know, loved working with him in Brothers in Arms. He's talented. He's been killing it. Andrea, who's the fucking liar? All right? Who's fucking lying? Is it Troy or Randy?
You call Troy right now.
I texted him. You know, he's probably still down under.
Here's the thing that I was talking to Greg about before the show started. I actually don't think either of them is lying.
Oh my God.
It's the audio director.
I think this is a case of the audio director worked with Troy's representation because Troy is obviously managed because he is a professional talent. He has no time to manage his own career.
Correct.
And the manager probably looked at the opportunity per what Randy's saying here and said, oh, this is a really small opportunity. Maybe Troy's already booked. Maybe he's too busy. Maybe it just isn't a big enough opportunity for Troy to fly down for a single day of shoots. And so I'm guessing his management just turned it down and then maybe never relayed that information to Troy. Yeah. This is my theory that no one's really at fault except for the people's people, right? Like Randy's people and Troy's people weren't talking to them.
You would imagine, yeah. I of course, if you did not know, am not professional in any capacity. I'm not represented or have any idea how any of that crap works. But you would imagine the amount of offers Troy Baker gets.
Oh, that they must be
the agent vets all the time. And like you're saying, they look at this and it's going to be fly to Gearbox, you know, fly to Plano, Texas or whatever. You're going to do it for a day. It's only this much. They're only willing to pay this much. And you look at it and you go, nah, that's an opportunity. That's not worth his time without knowing context of it, that it's a character he loves. And this is the thing. Like, did the offer come and be like, he's been this character before. We'd love to have him back and da da da. And then did that get I doubt it. I bet it. Yeah. It's just the people's people talking here.
Yeah. And so I'm sure that this is just a friendly mistake because, you know, as Randy said, they've worked with Troy before and like, why wouldn't they want to work with him again?
Sure.
So hopefully we can get this sorted out and that there's no like bad blood. The only thing I said was it's a little regrettable that if my theory is correct, that one, Troy's people didn't tell him about it first. Yeah. And two, that Troy didn't check with his people before he went on a panel and was like, I would have definitely gone back and done it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's kind of like a wah-wah situation here.
And now what's going to happen is the saddest thing. Whoever was going to do the little bit of voice work that was implied for this character, fired. Because Troy's going to be on it back.
Oh,
he's back right now. He's back. Whoever
Poor
it was,
guy.
Barry. I hope it was Nolan North. I hope Nolan North loses the job because of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it sounds like... Well, Nolan North isn't hurting for work either. It sounds like there's not actually going to be very much VO for Reese in this game anyway, kind of disappointing to
hear. Fortunately, with how Reese appears in the game, I don't think it actually matters at all. Because again, he was like he had a mustache and looked like he was behind glass. Like, I wonder how much he says or doesn't say or what's going on with him. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. We'll have to wait and see, everybody. However, I would just say follow everybody on Twitter and you'll eventually figure it out because that's where everything goes. I'll keep checking my phone, see what continent Troy's on. Nope, that's my wife talking about the shotgun fungus again. Never even told that story.
No, I still don't know what you mean.
So I said I was going to say on the Kind of Funny podcast, and I didn't because the Kind of Funny podcast got away from me and other things. So Jen, of course, love of my life. Love her so much. And one of the things she's done is brings a lot of plants in the house. She's a big plant lady. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whatever. I don't want to. They're your plants. I don't really. Whatever.
Well,
and
they're so, technically good for cleaning the air in your house.
Well, not this one for sure. So we went away. We had people. We had Boss Baby himself and his girlfriend take care of Portillo or whatever. And we came back and we're like, oh, man, it's so good to be home. Jen's been gone for like 2 weeks. It's great to be here. And then she's looking around. She just goes, Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, and I was like doing something in the kitchen. I came in like, what is going on? She's like, look at the walls and ceiling. And there were little black specks all over the walls and ceilings and all over the lights.
No.
Just very tiny, but lots of them. And she's like, it looks like mice. I'm like, mice didn't climb on the ceiling and shit on the ceiling. I'm clearly
mold.
The plant, and it wasn't mold because it popped right off. And
okay.
I was like, clearly, I was like, one of the plants tried to pollinate or some weird thing. She's like, that doesn't make any sense because it's like a hot, it's like a eucalyptus, like whatever thing over here. Like she calls it spiky boy because it's got all these spikes. And I'm like, she's like, that kind of plant wouldn't do that. I'm like, well, yeah, but it looks like something exploded. And so she's like, they're really hard to get off the wall, these little black specks or whatever. And so, and they're all over the light fixture. And like, but it's like very clear that it all originated out like this. And so I Googled around. And I was like, plant, little black dots, walls. And sure enough, like the first thing is artillery fungus. And it's that there's these little artillery funguses that will usually are found outdoors on rotting wood. But if you use a wood-based mulch inside they can grow on that or whatever.
Oh, no.
So she used potting soil that was wood based or whatever. So they were in there. So when I watered them and walked away, it just went and went. And like shotgun fungus all over the walls. It's not.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
It was the fungus. It shot off whatever with the
right.
Spore. It's not like there's more fungus is growing. I don't know. I'm not a fungus doctor. I'm not a fungus doctor. But the fungus was the mushroom that it went like that or whatever. And then the stuff on the walls is just Jen's cleaning it off today. And she's like, I'm too short to clean the ceilings. And hence why we're talking about shotgun funguses in my text messages. No word from Troy Baker, the coward. Number two. Guess what, everybody? Games are selling well. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice has Shinobi Death blowed its way into fans' hearts and the top of the charts. With a must-play status on Metacritic that only 1% of all games achieve each year and 90-plus rated review score across all platforms on Metacritic, the highly anticipated game sold more than 2 million copies worldwide across PlayStation, Xbox, and PC in less than 10 days. Shout out to you, Sekiro and From Software. Good job on your sales. Good job, everybody who likes hard games and beating your head against the wall.
Yeah, I saw some clips of one of the late game bosses yesterday, and I was just like, that thing looks terrifying.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah. In the same vein here, we have two bullet points on Game So Well. The other one is Don't Not Entertainment. An independent French studio that creates and develops video games is proud to announce the renewal of its partnership with Focus Home Interactive. Vampire, however you pronounce it, the first game of the partnership impressed press and players from around the world. Focus and Don't Not are proud to announce that more than a million copies have been sold to date. Our new co-production promises to be one of the most ambitious in the history of the publisher and the studio. So there, first off, they're working on another game. It's going to be super ambitious, but 1 million copies sold, or more than a million copies sold for Vampire, the Vampire game.
No, I didn't. That
Brit
was
Brit's, it, though, right?
That was Brit's thing.
It was a jam for her, right?
Mm-hmm, liked it.
That was a game that people really dug if they dug that kind of thing, it seemed like. Because it was, for me, I started playing, I was like, oh, it's kind of janky PS2-y in terms of gameplay, but it was about the connections and the choices and the things you went and did. So good for them. People still like this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Andrea.
Yes, Craig.
Would you like to wildly speculate with me?
Heck yes, I would.
It's a slow news day. Number three, we have two job listings to read into. First off, let's talk about Sucker Punch. Sucker Punch is looking for a narrative writer to help create engaging narrative content for our upcoming project, Ghost of Tsushima. Daily tasks will include story development, game dialogue, and general narrative contribution. The ideal candidate will have previous success as a game writer, outstanding dialogue skills, an excellent understanding of story and game structure, experience in a writer's room setting, and a passion to tell great stories in an open world. Why do you want to speculate on this one, Andrea Renee? Because everyone on the internet's like, wait a second, how far out is this game if they're hiring a narrative writer?
Yeah, it's puzzling, because I thought this game was maybe tracking for early 2020, fall 2020 at the absolute latest.
I would side with that, yeah.
When you think about where the narrative development takes place, it's really early in the game dev cycle. I mean, you obviously have additional writing responsibilities throughout the duration of the process, and of course, if you're going to add expansions or DLC, you want to bring narrative back into it, but
I almost didn't make the Roper report until I realized there was nothing to talk about today. So I was like, I'll put it in there. I don't think it's a red flag. I think 2020 still is where this game's going to fall. I think that it's not like they're bringing in lead narrative writer, you know, narrative director or something like that. I think bringing in a writer at this thing, we tend to think of sweeping changes, story, you know, what are we going to do on this quest? And then granted, that stuff gets mentioned in there, which I think could easily apply to DLC. It could apply to, I'm sure, the sequel or whatever pre-production they're working on. It could apply to little things they need. Think of it, writers also are writing every line of dialogue you pick up when you pick up an object, right? And you just get like the little biography page or whatever. You know what I mean? Or your codex or whatever, codec. I think it's still on track. I think it's just adding another writer to the team to do probably more of the grunt work, to do more of that little stuff fill in. I would imagine the narrative of this game is way far along. They know what they're doing, quest lines in general, but in terms of the characters you're going to run into, I'm sure that need something to pop up when they say, or some little throwaway lines or NPC dialogue. I think there's a lot that could be done there that really start filling in the gaps. I think the major stuff's probably set.
Yeah, I'm with you on everything you just said. So I don't think this is any reason to be alarmed.
Good. I don't want to be alarmed. I did. It's funny. Before I even saw this, you know what I was doing today, Andrea? Brushing my teeth with my Quip toothbrush. And we're not sponsored by them today, but it happened. And I was just thinking, man, I could go for an Infamous Remastered. And I know we're done. Oh. I know it's over. It seems like all the collections and the remastereds, and it's all done for a while. Probably have to wait till PlayStation 5.
Yeah, next gen.
But man, I could go for Infamous 1 again. Go out there, save Trish. You know what I'm talking about?
Kind of makes me want to go back and play some more Infamous.
Goddamn right.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't think I ever finished Last Light.
Oh, really? Oh, First Light, right?
First Light? Is that what it was?
Yeah, because it was Last Light. First Light was Fetch's thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
The DLC.
Yeah. It was really good. I thought that was arguably better than the game itself. Go do it.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, better for Infamous Second Son? I thought, Fetch's stuff was great.
I really enjoyed Second Son.
I never played the DLC.
Oh, really? You should do it. It's real good. Did you like Second Son a lot?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good.
Remember you turn your controller and the little art?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. With the graffiti? Were you shake it and it made like the can sound?
Yeah. We got Concrete Genie now. I don't need that. You know what I mean?
Do you think they're going to add that in Concrete Genie? That would be cool.
Shaking up your PlayStation Move wand?
No, I don't think so. From what I've played, there's no like actual like paint can sound effects.
There's none of this in Concrete.
There's none of this, Greg.
None of this in Concrete Genie.
All right. That's enough of that. All right.
That's a one for the video team. All right. Audio listeners like, I don't get it.
You're welcome, Corey. Don't make that a gift, Corey. Don't do it.
Oh, it's too late. It's done. Corey made it into a gift 2 seconds ago. Let's talk more job listings. This is from Gorilla. They basically need a Java person. Let's get into what the things mean. You will build a robust backend that can scale up to serve many concurrent users. You will work on systems like matchmaking, tournaments, clans, and leaderboards. You will cooperate with game designers to achieve the vision for the game. You'll work on systems to test and deploy a new server set without downtime. You will integrate the game servers with the PlayStation Network and other third-party services. You will keep up to date with the Java world and introduce new technologies when they are relevant for Gorilla. If you are comfortable with C++, you can help integrate the back-end services in the game client. A lot of mumbo jumbo about Java. I love coffee too.
Greg, is this the return of Killzone?
Is Killzone happening? Of course, Horizon has no multiplayer component and there's no leaderboards or anything like that. Why would they need this? Gorilla, of course, like 300 people, right, in Amsterdam. You assume there's a second project they're working on. And yeah, is it going to be a Killzone? Is it going to be another new IP, multiplayer game?
I think it's a stretch to say they're working on another new IP after just creating Horizon Zero Dawn, because doing a new IP from scratch is incredibly expensive and time consuming. And it's just a little far-fetched for me to think that they're doing a brand new IP when they've got this existing PlayStation IP that's been dormant now for quite some time.
Yeah.
I think now the time is right. Killzone.
Is it though?
Like PS5 launch title? Killzone?
Yeah, but that's always the hand Killzone gets dealt. And then it's
but
always
it could
that
be
thing
really
where people.
It's really amazing though.
It could be, but usually people play like, all right, yeah, well, it's Killzone. And that's my thing is I feel like Gorilla has a great mindset for multiplayer games. Killzone 2 was the first shooter I ever like played a ton of multiplayer on. I just think that the name Killzone hasn't been tainted. It's just been around so long that it's so hard to get hype for it in a real sense. Now, granted, this will be the first game since, or if this was the next one, the first game since Horizon, right? If Horizon 2's next, and then it's the Killzone title. Awesome. I still think that people are gonna be like, "Oh, Killzone." I'd be more interested in seeing them just do a new thing, take their multiplayer skills and apply it to a new thing. And it's interesting to point out, of course, I'm reading from Eurogamer right here, right? Vicky Blake back in 2018. This is July. Guerrilla Games has been acquiring talent from Ubisoft's Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege team. An eagle-eyed member of Reset Era noticed that the Horizon Zero Dawn developer had recently taken on a couple of Six alumni, including game director Simon LaRoche, who joined Guerrilla 9 months ago for a game described only as Secret Game is Secret.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Yeah,
that so Simon went to Gorilla.
Yeah. So what? It would be exciting. I personally feel if they have this new rush of talent in here from Siege. Obviously, they know what they're doing, and then give them the back end multiplayer know how of the Gorilla team, but give them a new IP or whatever they want to run with. Free to play Apex Legends 2. You know what I'm talking about? Put it out here. That's what they could be doing. That's where it's at now, Andrea. Nobody wants to run around the bland brown world of Killzone. Even though Shadowfall wasn't like that, I know.
Well, I think that they could work within that IP and make something new and different with it. I mean, personally, as much as I would like to see another, you know, FPS in the space, I still want Horizon 2 first.
Oh my God, totally. You kidding me? Yes, give me more Aloy.
Yeah.
How far do you think that is? That strikes me as you could launch as a PlayStation 5 launch title.
That would be amazing. I think that's maybe too soon.
You think so?
Yeah, I feel like that's probably realistically maybe 2021 or 2022.
Okay. That's not that far off.
No, it's not that far.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I mean, a launch title is probably going to be 2020 fall,
I was
going to
say, you're
right?
Launching PlayStation 2020 fall?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's my guess.
Yeah. I think it's possible. at least to try for it and then have it get bumped like Infamous Second Son probably or something like that.
Yeah, that's possible
you
too.
You know what I mean? That's how it'll probably end
up. I mean, Sony is, you know, really great at slipping games.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hey, man, when it's done, it's done. All right?
Exactly.
Don't worry about what Neil Druckmann's doing down there.
I'm all about take your time.
Take your time. Get the game done.
And they're getting much more efficient about their marketing and announcing release dates before the game is ready. And
yeah.
Trying not to have this big tentpole release date and then being like, okay, we're... Somebody's coming into the office.
Well, it was that. Well, they did it right as the wind blew, so it felt like the walls moved in with like air pressure. Yeah, yeah. Sorry about that.
That's
didn't mean to get distracted, but yeah.
Oh, know. Yeah. It's all fine.
And then number four, you can reserve your Pokemon Go name in Harry Potter Wizards Unite right now. This is from Kevin over at GameSpot. Niantic and Warner Brothers' joint Harry Potter game, Wizards Unite, is coming to iOS and Android devices later this year. While the title still doesn't have a firm release date, the company's recently opened pre-registration for it on Android, and now those who have played one of Niantic's previous games can reserve their usernames in it. From now until basically midnight on April 30th, Ingress Prime, I guess it'd be midnight on May 1st. That's always confusing. Midnight sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Ingress Prime and Pokemon Go players can reserve their in-game names to use in Harry Potter Wizards Unite. To do so, you'll first need to go to Niantic's website, then select the option to use either your Ingress agent name or Pokemon Go trainer nickname. Follow the prompts, and your Harry Potter Wizards Unite username will be set. I went over there to do it. Because I know Cool Greg's gonna play this game. Kevin, I forget. Are you playing this one? Are you gonna get on this?
I don't know. As it gets closer, I get less excited for it.
You get less excited as it gets closer. Why is that? They got port keys, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm kind of with you, Kevin. As you know, Cool Greg and I are kind of like the resident Harry Potter fan people of this group.
I don't know if that's. I mean, like.
I'm not saying you aren't also part of that group. Kevin.
How am I not included?
Because you talk a big talk about getting a Harry Potter tattoo and you never do it.
Because the one he wants to get is not the one he's going to get.
That's not true.
Don't get that one. We talked about it, Kevin.
You're being silly. It's a fictional world.
We're not going to argue about this right now. Because you know that they're going to be on my side.
You want to get a dark mark, right?
Yeah, I want the dark mark.
And you say don't do that?
I said that's a terrible idea.
Hey, man. I feel like, you know, pure-blooded witches is what it's all about.
Get a snitch, man, because you're a snitch.
No, what?
Yeah, I mean, I would be on board with that, but not the dark mark, Kevin.
Then
no,
I chase you around
Kevin,
the office
don't.
Trying to catch you all the time.
My thing about this game that I'm hesitant about jumping in, because I was super excited when Niantic first announced this, that they were working on this with Pottermore, and I'm concerned after seeing some of the initial footage, because I think the reason why Pokemon Go worked so well is because a lot of those... characters, if not all of them, are very highly fictionalized looking.
Sure.
There's no like uncanny valley there at all, because they're straight cartoons. They're animated, right?
Yeah.
But what I've seen so far of them putting characters in the game, like seeing like Ron in the game, I was like, oh, I don't know. This isn't good.
It's not doing it. Yeah.
I just feel like it breaks the suspension of disbelief when you're talking about an AR game that's built in the real world, and then you've got this sort of fictional character, but it kind of looks like a real person, and then that uncanny valley thing comes in.
Gotcha.
So I'm hesitant.
Okay.
I need to see it in action.
Or are you gonna go redeem your name or whatever?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. I think my Pokemon Go name's already screwed up. I think somebody already took Game Over Greggy, so I had to use like a zero. It's like, who even cares? This game and I can play, especially when Ghostbusters World is still out there. Haven't played it in months, but it's still there somewhere if I really wanted to. Andrea.
Yes.
I'm excited to see Kevin get this Dark Mark tattoo
one day
when he finally decides to stop being a coward. Yeah. But that day's so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, like say what came to the mom and grab shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today. Starting today, groups of two can deploy together in Battlefield 5's Battle Royale mode, Firestorm, in the all-new Duo mode. Then, Way of the Pacifist comes to Switch. Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice comes to Switch. Shadowgate, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Earth Defense Force, Iron Rain, PlayStation 4. Vaporium, Switch. Reigns, Game of Thrones, Switch. You played Reigns, right?
Yes, I did.
Is that worth picking up?
Yes.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I don't know how it's going to work on... I guess they could use the same swipe functionality on the touchscreen.
Sure. Back to Bed on Switch. F-18 Carrier Landing on Steam VR. Axiom Soccer on PC. Akabeth Tactics on PC, Pathway on PC and Mac, Weedcraft Inc. on PC and Mac, Tiny Tracks on PC, Leaf on PC, Bot Vice on Switch, Box Align on Switch, Doggy Ninja The Golden Mission on Switch, Silence on Switch, Superstar Path on Switch, The Demon Crystal on Switch, Feather on Switch, Greco Hall of Kanji, Learn Japanese Beginner and Carrots on Switch, Jungle Z, Minefield, and Quaddle all on Switch as well. Then, a bevy of new dates for you. Black Paradox, the retro stylish shmup, is set to launch on PlayStation 4 on April 30th and May 1st if you're in North America or Europe. Nintendo Switch and Xbox One on the 3rd of May. Black Paradox will also make the hyper jump from Steam Early Access into full release on May 2nd. Yakuza Kiwami 2 comes to Steam on May 9th for $30. God Eater 3 lands on Nintendo Switch on July 12th, 2019. Star Wars Pinball is coming to Nintendo Switch on September 13th. Close to the Sun will release exclusively on the Epic Games Store for PC on May 2nd. From 2 will release... There it is. Good job, Corey, with the jerking off gif. That's great. Close to the Sun will release... From 2 will release on PC, Mac, Linux, and... PC, Mac, and Linux on June 4th, then the Switch sometime in Q3 2019. A Chair in a Room, Green Water, comes to PlayStation VR on April 23rd. And it looks scary, Kevin. For the King is coming to Xbox One on May 10th. Then, believe it or not, Octopath Traveler comes to PC June 7th. We go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where the nanobiologist writes in and says, "What's good, Andrea and Greg?" And then he puts in parentheses, "Loud, cheerful Greg voice, please. Sorry, Andrea." Octopath is coming to P motherfucking C. And requested Greg voice. Thanks. What is happening to third-party exclusives? They're coming to PC. This and other Final Fantasy games, Xbox exclusives, rumored to be going to competitors' consoles and platforms. Parentheses, was Crash, now Persona. Are they all, and he's talking about just third-party exclusives, just becoming exclusive windows in this day and age? I, for one, am happy with this new shift. I have more choices to buy the games I want to play on whatever system I want to, but this would have been nice to know earlier on. Should exclusives now come with an asterisk, saying that they will not be available on X platforms until a later date?
No, it will never happen because that's not the way these marketing deals
are
written.
That's not how business gets done.
Right. So in a perfect world, nanobiologists, yes, it would be great if we could get all of that information up front because let's be honest, these publishers know people like us are going to ask that question when they invite us to the
preview event.
We
have no further announcements at this time. Right now, we're really just focusing on the Switch version. We can't speak about the future.
Precisely. That's the way that these marketing deals are done. You give somebody some money, then it's exclusive for a set period of time, but they don't want to talk about where it's going later. They want to talk about their exclusivity, and that's unfortunately just the way it is.
Yeah. I think it's cool, and I think you wrestle more and more with the fact that when people create this art, they should be able to get it to as many people as possible. And I would basically look at this kind of stuff, and yeah, if you're talking about a third-party exclusive, not that third-party exclusives are truly dead, clearly they're not, but for most of them, unless they're funded, like Insomniac and Spider-Man, right? By Sony and PlayStation.
And then they become second party.
Exactly. Which is apparently dead, which they treat it now as a first party title. Very interesting how they in their head rationalize what they're doing. However, I think, it seems like most third-party exclusives will end up somewhere else eventually, which isn't unheard of. I remember it seems like that's always been the case. Not always. I shouldn't say that. In recent memory, I remember Tomb Raider was always the big one, right? When it was like, it's coming to Xbox, and Xbox is like, it's console launch exclusive. It's like, wait, so is it coming somewhere else, or does that just mean PC? And like, we have nothing to announce, and then people start finally talking about back-end contracts and how this goes.
Well, and Street Fighter V was a good example, too, sure. You know, being locked to PS4 and people being very upset about that. And I'm pretty sure it's never come to another platform, and it has no intentions to.
It's on PC, though, right?
It's on PC now?
Isn't it? Or am I wrong? Street Fighter V?
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
We need a kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Street Fighter V, if it ever went anywhere other than the PlayStation 4. I thought it was PlayStation 4 and PC, was it not? Was it just PlayStation 4?
It was just PlayStation 4 for the first year, for sure.
Okay.
It might be on PC now, but again, help us out there, twitch.tv.
They'll be there in a second. Yeah, It would be nice, obviously, if you could come out and say it's going to go everywhere. But the reason this gets done right, as you've talked about, is the marketing deal behind it. And the fact that, all right, cool, we're making a game where it's a smaller game. It's a huge game. Doesn't matter. We don't want to carry all the burden of marketing it for us. So, yes, right. PlayStation. Yes, Xbox. Yes, Nintendo. Please get behind us with those dollars and cents to actually get it out there. And we'll sign this agreement to make it look exclusive or be exclusive for quite a while, right? You're talking about Octopath Traveler. That was indeed exclusive for like more than a year. A year, like right around there.
So hey, nanobiologist, can you let me know when it came to other platforms? So it says came out on PC and PS4 in February 2016.
Nailed it.
And then
I was right. Greg Miller
yeah
right.
All platforms is not correct though.
Greg Miller was
I'm
right,
pretty
everybody.
I mean, it's definitely not on Switch.
I was just talking about PC, remember?
So it was on PC from launch. Okay.
Yeah,
my mistake.
No, it's fine.
But it's not on Xbox One today. You can't play it on Xbox One today, correct? Or not correct?
I think believe that's really still
what
correct.
Is really what we're trying to ask here, friends. No, thank I you wasn't. So much for everybody who wrote in.
Christian.
And the nanobiologist says, I saw Microsoft assumed Xbox, but it was PC. So Xbox One players still today, right now, cannot play Street Fighter V.
Correct.
See? Yeah. That's a third-party title.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it does still exist. It is just so rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very rare.
So yeah, suck it up, everybody. You gotta wait. you gotta sit there. If you don't want to buy it on the other platform, you gotta sit there and wait for it. Even Way of the Pacifist coming out now, right? I'm glad. I guess that's not even remotely the same thing, but it was out for a while ago on Switch, right? Probably PC as well, but now it's finally coming over to PlayStation 4 today. Doesn't matter. Deal of the day for you. You Miniki. Dream Diary is 30% off on the Nintendo Switch. So if you're looking for a Dream Diary, there you go. Time for Reader Mail, but first I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. First, let's start with Hims. You've heard us talking about Hims and how they're helping guys look their best, and if you haven't, it's time you see what they're all about. 66% of men start to lose their hair by the age 35, and the thing is, once you notice thinning hair, it can be too late. Andy and Nick, of course, noticed their hair was thinning. They went to 4hims.com, talked to a professional over there, a doctor, sent in photos, got teamed up with the gummy prescriptions Andy does because he will only eat gummy pills. I don't understand. The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it while you still have some. This is why guys turn to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Hims is helping guys be the best version of themselves with licensed physicians and FDA-approved products that help treat hair loss. No more awkward in-person doctor visits and long pharmacy lines. Hims connects you directly with real doctors online, which could save you hours. And of course, it's completely confidential and discreet. Get the hair loss treatment everyone is talking about. It's featured in GQ, Men's Health, Esquire, and Playboy, to name a few. Our listeners can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. This is, of course, subject to a doctor's approval. See the website for full details and safety information. This would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor or pharmacy or somewhere else. Go to forhims.com/gamesdaily. That's forhims.com/gamesdaily. forhims.com/gamesdaily. Up next is Harry's. Harry's founders were tired of paying upfront for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. They knew a great shave doesn't come from gimmicks like vibrating heads, flex balls, or handles that look like spaceships. Tactics that the leading brand has been using to raise prices for decades. They fixed that by combining a simple, clean design with quality, durable blades at a fair price. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years, and they have more than 20,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot and Google. Harry's replacement cartridges are just $2 each. That's half the price of the Gillette Fusion Pro Shield. All Harry's blades come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love your shave, you can let them know, and they'll give you a full refund. We know we love the shaves here because it's what Tim uses on that trademark Tim Tam beard. That's how he gets it all this. Does it up here. Does the thing down there. Has nice lines. He loves them. They're delivered to him. He enjoys them. Get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. The weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/gamesdaily. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/gamesdaily and let them know we sent you to help support the show.
I'm getting my trial right now.
Nice.
Because you know why? I was at the store yesterday. Went to go pick up some razors.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you know it, they're all locked up. because apparently razor theft is rampant.
Yeah.
And so you have to like call someone
you
over.
Hit that button, wait
and
for
I just
come
could
over.
Not be bothered. So, sure. I didn't buy
you
any razors.
You smashed the glass. Just you're like, no dresses until I find unsanctioned razors. I'm glad Harry's is there for you, Andrew.
Yeah, so I'm gonna redeem my trial right now.
Thank you. Robert Mims wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and gets the honor of being the first question. My question is in response to recent articles from Jason Schreier about the state of games studios as places to work, the more human side of these massive businesses that make the games we love. I feel like more and more I'm seeing articles extolling the pain and turmoil of game development. Is there another side to that coin? Should I be wary as a game dev student about the field I'm going to be entering? Is this a sort of vocal minority, or do you think the majority of games development is similar to this painfully tense situation? Thank you for allowing me to project my fears, Robert Mims. It's okay, Robert. This is a safe place. You're allowed to talk it out. It's a giant question. You're talking about the Jason Schreier stuff, so we've been talking about like the pressure, you know, BioWare was under for that, right? Expounding throughout Kotaku, we're talking about the things Riot has seen. We're talking about should devs unionize. We're talking about crunch. All these horror stories. I would always go back to this, and something you and I have talked about on this show before, right? Is that crunch gets thrown around loosely, like so many things do when we talk about these, and crunch is bad. Mm-hmm. However, it's also that thing of creativity, and when your passion is your job, it's hard to ever check that at the door. So lots of places people work really late, not because they feel somebody breathing on their neck, but because they are so into it and passionate about it and trying to make it work. Every office space is different. Every structure you'll be in corporate wise would be different. We can't talk to any of them because we've never made games or work in them. What I know is that I've been lucky enough to be doing this for 12 years. The amount of developers I've met, befriended, become incredibly close with, they are some of the most smart, passionate people I've ever had the time to do. And I know those people well enough to know they wouldn't sit around to eat shit nonstop and hate their lives. They're doing it, they're loving it, and they seem happy doing it the way they do it. And so I can't say that applies to everybody. I've obviously met people from BioWare, so I mean, like, if they're having a bad time over there, this is happening. Or you want to look even more close to us physically, and maybe I've worked with way closer. Telltale, right? Like, I had talked to people who were like leaving Telltale before it all went to hell, and it wasn't that they were necessarily leaving because of crunch. They were leaving because they weren't happy with upper management and how what they were being told to do to their games or the credit they were given and stuff like that, right? There's a sliding scale of it all there, and I think some of it, especially when we talk about bad management or people above you not making the decisions you'd make, that's going to be at any job. And I don't think that should scare you off.
That is the perfect point that I was going to make. So I'm glad you said it. That
you let me ramble for 30 minutes. I'll eventually get there.
I know you will. Working sucks some of the time for everybody.
Sure.
That's just part of being an adult and part of having a job. Nobody's job is going to be perfect every single day. And that goes for video games as well. But I think the reason why people are really excited about working in video games, because for most of us, it's a cross section between our hobby and our passion and also our professional expertise and something that we're very good at doing. And I think that that's the thing that kind of gets tossed aside when you get a lot of these articles coming out about the bad or negative parts about the workspace. There's going to be shitty bosses no matter which industry you live in or work in. You know, you're going to have conflicts with creative decisions in any work environment. And video games is no exception. So I hope that this doesn't, you know, persuade you to not pursue a career in video games, because there's so many amazing opportunities to do really cool things and really innovative things. But I mean, go in with the realistic expectation that not every day is going to be a great day, that you're going to have disagreements, that you're going to have conflicts, that there's going to be policies at certain companies that you just don't jive with, and that's okay. And we would hope that for anybody, no matter what kind of job you have, if you go to work every day and it's soul crushing and you hate it, that you'll be able to feel empowered to leave it and find something else, even if it means you have to take a job at Starbucks or McDonald's or whatever to make money for you and your family.
Yeah, make ends meet.
You only got one life, kids. Make sure that you're spending it the way you want to spend it.
You're making a lot of sense.
Nope, Kevin, don't listen to her. Don't unionize and don't listen to her. Every day's a pleasure here. Every day's a pleasure here, Kevin.
A lot of sense.
Cut his mic, Barrett.
Kevin, I got a studio down just a few miles away that has an opening for someone like you.
It's beautiful down there, too.
It is. It's sunny and beautiful there right now.
I got a hole in Golden Gate Park that's open for you if you ever try to leave, all right? Baron will bring the shovel. Right?
A lot of sense.
Yeah, I think, and then the other good news to all this, right, is that I think, again, the more these articles are out there, the more we talk about it as an industry, the better those conditions get. And there are the things that you can't, whether people unionize or not, the fact that, no, we need to take care of our employees, and we need, even if we're not making it a mandatory crunch thing, people are reading into our actions and our statements that we do, they need to be here working their butts off. So let's figure out a better way to do this. So it's getting better, Robert. Don't worry. Come make a game. The nanobiologist writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, yesterday, Greg and Gary talked about how the Division 2 can be considered a games as a service game. Yeah, okay. One of the staples of Ubisoft library. Do you see there being a Division 3 where we go to the West Coast or across the pond? Because honestly, I could see us agents hold up in DC for several years. Here's why. First, they have so much content they can add in this area. Every museum can be a mission, including the even better Air and Space Museum by the Dulles Airport. Airports can be added as dungeons or raids. Air Force and military bases are nearby. Finally, they can easily add Baltimore as a new zone that, and this could easily be realistic in the context of the game. So what do you guys think is next for the Division, and where do you see that they'll take us in 2022? Big questions there.
Yeah, I did notice some NPCs dropping some hints about what's happening in Boston.
Oh, really?
So I was like, is that something that's going to happen maybe as DLC? Now, we see this crashed helicopter on the map now. We don't quite know what that's going to be, but
looking, is it crashed or is there?
Well, it's downed or whatever.
Okay, because when they updated with Tidal Basin, there's now a yellow helicopter outside the White House, which for me immediately read that, yep, that's going to be now when we want to go. When, like, they've already announced the Pentagon's going to be DLC, right?
Right.
When it's time to go to the Pentagon, we have to go to the helicopter and go there.
Well, because if you look at what they're doing with Far Cry New Dawn with the expeditions, that's something that they certainly could bring into a game like The Division. I don't anticipate them getting to a whole new setting for quite some time because the team put years and years of work into building Washington, D.C., and there's so many parts of the city that we haven't even seen yet, like buildings that have been locked off. And,
sure,
you know, as you know, they're mentioning here, as nanobiologists is mentioning, like, there's D.C. is full of museums, all kinds of really cool nooks and crannies to find, and lots to unpack there. So I hope that we get to stick it out here for at least a while.
Yeah, I'm trying to dig it up. I remember on the subreddit, somebody was talking about, I want to say they thought episode 3, that there was some kind of hint to it, in kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, if you, even though this isn't a you're wrong, it's more of an explanation, that there was some kind of hint at maybe doing something in New York again, which would be interesting. But again, now that they introduced this helicopter, you can go anywhere and do anything with it. And so, yeah, I don't see it being to what we're talking about here. And, like, the hints of Boston are awesome. I don't think we're going to go to Boston.
Right.
The Pentagon makes so much sense, right? Of, like, we're going to the Pentagon. It's a localized location. There's something there to do. I could see having to do more of that, right, where we are bouncing off and they have some reason that, yeah, you know, we're like you're talking about with expanding DC, that, you know, Germantown or Rockville, like, they're walled off and we need to go do something there, a very specific portion of it. I do think with the commitment they've already made to this year one roadmap and everything they're doing, in the success it's found so far in terms of, you know, people talking about it and loving Division 2, I do think we're going to stick it out for a long time in DC or with Division 2. What that means for a Division 3, I mean, there's definitely going to be a Division 3. Where it'll be and when it'll be, I don't know. 2022 would make sense, I guess, but it's also, they have to see what the legs are on this as they continue to work on this.
Yeah.
Boston would be cool, but I would love to see them really shake it up and, yeah, go Los Angeles, San Francisco. You know, it's got to be a city now with landmarks to go into and museums and stuff like that. You toss out, you know, nanobiologists across the pond. I had made those predictions on some games cast about it. And of course, everybody tried to eat my face. About, well, the Division, it's part of the American government, idiot. And I'm like, yeah, there's no way a writer could come up with an idea of why we'd have to go to London. Like, I still think there'd be something fun there and going out there and seeing how the Division is global, or they call us in or whatever. There's a lot to be done with the Division, but yeah, we're going to be in DC for a while and it's still so fucking good. Can't wait to get back to it, Andrew.
So good.
Too many games.
Tonight.
Why won't everybody stop making games? You know? Just for a little bit. Just pause it. All these releases. There's too many good
things.
Isn't
that what July is for? Oh, wait. It's the busiest con season of the month? Well, dang it.
Everything sucks. You know. Billy the Door writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, I did it. I finally changed my PSN name, and I thought it would be helpful if you would allow for me to share my experience with the name change process. It was quite easy to do from my phone, but before I was able to make the change, there were two screens worth of disclaimers and potential risks on the name change with, quote, please read before changing your PSN ID at the top of each. I know yesterday there were some concerns people were would be unaware of the risks, but those risks are presented to everyone going through the process. People just need to be responsible enough to heed them. There are even links to the tested games, the list of games with issues you mentioned yesterday, and other documentation. Personally, I don't have much interest in the games on the games with issues list and wanted my name to be consistent with all my other social media platforms, so switching was a no-brainer for me. Thanks again for all you guys do, and sorry, NYC killed Andy. I'm not, because now that Andy's gone, KFAF is gone, and it's perfect. That's good. I'm glad that they're spelling it out. I still think people are going to scroll through and click and not necessarily get into it.
But. Yeah, I heard you and Gary talking about this yesterday when the news broke, and you're totally right. People are going to not read it. They're going to change their name. They're going to have an issue. They're going to complain to customer service, and customer service is going to be like, did you read the disclaimer? And they're going to be like, what disclaimer?
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to happen, but like then they can only blame themselves.
Of course.
They won't. They'll blame Sony. Of course. It's like, yo, what happened to personal responsibility and being... in charge of your own person, Greg. It feels like it's lost in this day and age. Everybody needs somebody to be their nanny.
Well, you know, it's just,
not my fault. They were supposed to do it for me. They didn't tell me. That's what I feel like's happening with our society, Greg.
Okay. Next time you bitch about your airplane experience, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do
it. If it was my fault, I would take responsibility
for it. Hey, you don't like people leaning. If you don't like people reclining into your face, maybe you should fly private, all right?
This is about personal responsibility, Greg. Don't mince words here. Did you have something to add, Barrett? No,
Barrett came in wacky, waving, inflatable arm flailing tube man over there. I was like, what's happening? It did. I thought you were going to come in and be like, they just confirmed that Switch S or whatever, or Persona 5S is not what you thought it was. Great. But it's not. You're still wrong. I'm still right.
It's a no good day one's to be right or wrong good yet. Day to be Nothing Greg has Miller. Been decided.
Ah, Barrett. Steven Dutzman writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, I know there's been a lot of talk about Xbox Game Pass, but I was wondering your thoughts on this potential angle. The next generation of consoles is rapidly approaching, and it is clear that a lot of Microsoft's newly purchased studios will not be able to produce games on time. Okay. I mean, that's a bold statement. Sure, okay. I think you don't mean delay. You just mean they won't hit console launch. Okay, okay. Do you think it's possible that Microsoft might take advantage of the Game Pass by allowing some of these games to release in early access on the platform? This would give them the advantage of new content on their service faster, and the low/non-existent upfront cost might make fans feel better about playing the games. It's not a terrible idea.
It's not a terrible idea.
Game by game, I think.
But it could really backfire. And it's interesting that this comes up now, because I was just tweeting with some people about a segment that I chatted with Jeff and Christian on DLC about. If you guys have never checked out that podcast, those are some great guys. Jeff Canada, Christian Spicer. But essentially, Microsoft Studios, I mean, Steven is right here. Like, they're not going to be ready for the launch of whatever's next for Xbox. I'm feeling like Halo Infinite is going to be their tentpole launch title for the new hardware, mm-hmm. and that Gears 5 will kind of be the one to sunset Xbox One. But when it comes to releasing a bunch of games, particularly new IPs from studios under new leadership and early access, that could result in some really bad blowback if the games are really broken. Because, I mean, we harken back to what happened with PUBG when it launched in early access and on game preview. And like, it got panned by people like me saying that game is buggy and broken, right? And even though it's early access, and it comes with that expectation of not being a finished, polished game, there are still a lot of people who don't understand what that means. And that, I think, is the communication issue that Microsoft was going to run into if they want to go down the path of having several of their new studios release games into early access or game preview. And I think that's probably not the right call.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, and I think it'll be a game-by-game basis, right? I don't think Halo Infinite would be something you'd put in early access on there. But I think it could have really benefited State of Decay 2. Of like, hey, this game...
Absolutely.
We know there's problems. Let's work through them together. But let's get it to you as soon as possible. I think it would have been a different response launch-wise if you did that.
Agreed.
Same thing even with Sea of Thieves, where it was like, oh, this is content bare for start. If you put early access on it and you put it in Game Pass, don't shock me. And, you know, you lock it that way. That'd be an interesting way to do it. But as Game Pass continues to evolve, change, grow, they put more and more money into it. It's going to be interesting to see where it is at the launch of the next box. Andrea,
Yes.
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You give me your name, username, platform of choice, why you need help in a game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Andrew needs help on Xbox One. The Xbox username is AndyMac9995. I recently got back into Overwatch thanks to the league starting again, and I'm looking for people to play with and give rank to try. I main a D.Va Mercy. All right. Yeah, I main and D.Va Mercy and 76, but really can do any role you need me in. Play most days. England time would be best, but whenever you see me on, I'm up for a match. Smiley emoji. W-O-O-W, go London Spitfires. I don't know if it's a wow, but he spelled it out, so it's got to be like maybe something I don't understand, like Burn Blue. But anyways, AndyMac9995, if you want to play Overwatch with a chap from England on Xbox. Andrew, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Mikey chimes in first and says, Andrew, you're wrong. A Dark Mark tattoo is awesome.
And that's enough of that talk.
No, it's bad.
Nanobiologist says, I'm sure you know this, but just for for somebody who wouldn't know. Andrea, there are numerous monsters that will be featured in the Harry Potter AR game, including pixies, nifflers, bogarts, and dementors.
Yes, of course, I know.
Of course, but yeah, to the point, if maybe you heard it for the first time, you thought it was just talking to Ron Weasley, I guess. That's the AR game. He's just sitting on your bench or whatever. Justin says the helicopter in Division 2 says it takes you to the raid.
Okay.
Correct. Sorry, but I was also thinking it can take you to, it's going to take you, Pentagon.
It can take you to multiple places, yeah.
Take me away, you know what I mean? The nanobiologist says, what Greg is referring to, posters reading NYC After Dark, which you could easily stylize as NYC:After Dark, are found throughout the world. The above picture, he puts a link in here that I don't see. The poster teases a return to the Big Apple in January, which matches with Episode 3's winter release window. Thank you very much. And this is interesting. I didn't know this. Snow Dude says for Division 2, they considered Seattle and New Orleans for its original location before originally deciding on Washington, D.C.
I would love Division in New Orleans. I think that would be a great setting.
That'd be a cool one. Yeah, yeah. Of course, we already did it. Infamous 2, so really no need. You know, nailed it. New Marais, they called it, of course. Bonjour. You know what I'm saying? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Thank you so much for watching. Remember, if you want to be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get every show over there ad-free as well as a video and an MP3. If you want it for free, no big deal. You can watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch it later, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can get on podcast services around the globe. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
You're hanging out here all day, of course.
That's correct.
Doing the games cast with Devin Sawa. Where can people find you?
The easiest place to find everything that I'm doing is at Andrew Renee on Twitter, but we've got a brand new episode of What's Good Games coming out this Friday. You can download it on your favorite podcast app. You can find all the places where we're listed at whatsgoodgames.com/podcast. And we also do some fun stuff on YouTube. We just put up our amazing little community meetup video that Pixel Brave shot for us at PAX East at youtube.com/whatsgoodgames if you guys want to check that out. And we're celebrating episode 100 this week, Greg.
Yay! Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah, when we spent the third segment of the show kind of reminiscing about some of our favorite moments from shooting 100 episodes of What's Good Games, and so it's a fun one this week.
Awesome. Well, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, Tim will be here tomorrow. It's been our pleasure to serve you.